21. We're moving. We're moving tonight. We're going to go through these scriptures. Amen. It's 10 to 8, and I plan to be done at 10 to 9, so we got plenty of time. Amen. And some of you just had heart failure. Pray for you. Amen. Hallelujah. No, we'll be done right on time, about 8:15. Amen. Praise the Lord. In the summer, we get a little extra time. I got some wonderful scriptures I want to share with you tonight as we continue our fourth lesson in our battling our adversary study on Satan. And we're going to look at the proper names of Satan, the proper names. And so if you have your Bibles, 1 Chronicles chapter 21, we'll just read one verse. Would you stand with me? Amen. As we have the very first mention. The principle of first mention is an important principle in Bible study. Amen. God has a lot to say about that first time that He mentions a word. And we see this mention for the very first time. We'll read just verse 1, and then we'll pray and be seated of 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Ready? Let's read it together. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. Father, bless our study tonight. May You enlighten us towards Satan and his devices. May we not be ignorant of them. May we be on guard for his wiles through Your word tonight, Lord. May we, Lord, may You put a hedge about us. Lord, we know that the devil does not like his devices and tactics exposed. Pray that You would hedge about each one that's here tonight. Hedge about our church. Lord, may we be faithful to Your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to get right into it tonight. The proper names of Satan. The proper names of Satan. If you would, go with me to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. We started there in 1 Chronicles 21. And of course, Job is mentioned several times. If you look at chapter 1 and verse 6. Verse number 6, and then down through verse 12. I'll just read quickly while you get there. And if you're not there, get next to somebody who's there. Amen. Job chapter 1, verse 6, it says, Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto who? Satan. Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth and from walking down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? We go on, we see this term Satan used several times, this name. And by the way, a name says a lot about somebody. You learn a lot about somebody by their name. I'm going to have to stay local, Brother Mark. I left it over here. Amen. You learn a lot about somebody. Listen, if you hear somebody in this church call me honey, there's only one person in this church that calls me honey. Some of you are wondering, who is it, Pat? It's my wife, amen. She calls me honey. Sometimes she calls me hun, and that's when I'm acting like Attila the Hun, amen. But that's a name I have. My mom, she'll call me sweetie, amen. My children will call me daddy. My little Katia will call me dada, amen. Those are all names that I have, amen. Precious names. You learn a lot. Listen, you learn that I'm a husband. You learn that I'm a son. You learn that I'm a father. You call me pastor or preacher. Amen. It's a precious name. You know, we learn a lot about Satan by his names. Learn a lot about him. That word Satan, it means adversary. Adversary. And that's what he is. He is our adversary. The title of our study is Battling Our Adversary. It's used 56 times in the Bible. Go with me over to the little book of Mark. Amen. Book of Mark, the smallest of the Gospels. Mark chapter 4 and verse 15 in the New Testament. We see, first of all, he is the adversary of God. Praise God for this, though he's not the equal of God. He's not omniscient. He's not omnipresent. He's not omnipotent. He's powerful. He can move quickly. He can move from heaven to earth in a split second. Amen. But he is not all powerful, which God is, amen. Mark chapter 4, verse 15, we find out here, he is God's adversary. It says, chapter 4, verse 15, and these are they by the wayside. We were talking about that in our intro tonight. Where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their heart. So Satan is the adversary of God. He opposes God. He hinders or tries to hinder the work of God and the plan of God and the program of God. The Bible talks about him in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that he's the god of this world and he hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. He's the adversary of God. But you know what else? And we can say amen to this. He's also the adversary of God's people. Amen? Boy, is he ever. Go to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. We're going to move through these scriptures here. Luke chapter 13. And I tried to do them in order here so we could kind of keep order or try to do that. Amen. We're moving in the same direction in the Bible. Verse number 16. You remember Jesus healed the woman bent over on the Sabbath day. Amen. And by the way, she still made it to the house of God bent over. Come on now. That's a great, great admonition to faithfulness right there. And it says, Jesus is rebuking the leader here. He says in verse 15, the Lord answered them, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? You know what? We see here that God is, that Satan is the adversary of God's people. He's the adversary of God. It says here that Satan hath bound this woman with illness. And by the way, I'm not saying every illness is of the devil. We know illness is caused by sin. The sin of Adam, amen, that brought death. By the way, sometimes God uses illness to get our attention, amen. But here it specifically says that she was bound by Satan. Luke chapter 22. Go with me. Luke chapter 22. Just over a couple of pages. We see here. What are we getting at here? Satan is the adversary of God's people. Luke 22. And look at verse 31. It's a tremendous verse. You remember Peter. Peter's many times got ahead of the Lord. This is one of those times. And it says there, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. My friend Phil Tharp used to say, if God ever lifted his hedge of protection off us, we'd be nothing more than an oil slick on the ground for Satan. Listen, Satan, he is the adversary of God's people. We could keep going here. You think about Acts 5:3. That's the story of Ananias and Sapphira. And you remember Peter said to Sapphira, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? What? That he was an adversary. Another time there, 1 Corinthians 7:5, in particular, it's dealing with the marriage relationship, the physical relationship. And God says, listen, if you suspend your physical relationship for a while to give yourself to prayer and fasting, he says this, make sure you come together that Satan tempt you not. For your incontinency or your lack of self-control. He's an adversary. The Bible talks about there in 2 Corinthians 2:11 that we're not ignorant of his devices. What are his devices? They're his adversarial devices. He's our adversary. He's the adversary of God's people. He's the adversary of people all around the world, lost and saved. It says this, that in Acts chapter 26, verse 18, whom Satan hath blinded. He said, I'm going to use Paul to open their eyes. Why? Because Satan hath blinded. You know why people don't believe on Christ? Because Satan's blinded them. He's the adversary of people all over the world. Secondly, backwards. Got to go backwards too. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. We see his first name, Satan. Means adversary. But then we see in the book of Isaiah, Be nice if the preacher knew where Isaiah was. Amen. Still in front of Jeremiah. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse number 12. And we looked at this verse extensively a couple of lessons back. It says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer?" Lucifer. That means bright and shining one. That is his name before his fall. And listen, I have no doubt reading about him in the cross-reference in Ezekiel chapter 18 that he was gorgeous to look upon, and he was ordained and well ordered and well just before God. He had so much appeal that he drew the third part of the angels. So we learn about him. His name means adversary, Satan. His name means bright and shining one. This one is very interesting. If you go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. In verse number 24, you remember this was when they accused him of casting out devils. The Pharisees did. And it says there in verse 22, "Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch as the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David?" And the answer to that question is yes. It is the son of David. It's the one that's been prophesied. It's the one that we've heard about. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." One of the names of Satan is, in the Old Testament, it's Beelzebub, and in the New Testament, Beelzebub. In the Old Testament, that term Beelzebub, it's only found in 2 Kings chapter 1, verses 2, 3, 6, and 16. It was a particular quote-unquote god of the Ekronites. And in the Old Testament, that it's used four times there, and it means the god of the fly. Now, I don't know about you. I find nothing godlike in a fly. They are just... that's exactly right. Thank you very much. They are nasty. You know, the Egyptians worshipped a fly. Very interesting. I have a book in my office. Dr. Harry Carr recommended it to me years ago called The Battle of the Gods by a fellow named Robert Morey. And he talked about every plague of Egypt, all 10 of them. God showed himself stronger than a god of Egypt. And I thought to myself, who would have a fly for a god? Who would have lice for a god? Who would have frogs for a god? I have no idea, amen. But the Egyptians did. And so the god of the fly, the New Testament, it's used seven times in the New Testament. Beelzebub, Matthew 10:25, 12:24, 27, Mark 3:22, and then the corresponding passages in Luke 11:15, 18, and 19. And that means the dung god. Again, I don't know why anybody would worship that. Seems pretty silly. But you know what? What do you learn about Satan in there? You know, when I think of flies and when I think of dung, I think of corruption. And I think of Satan. I think of defilement. I was telling Brother Leonard, I'm watching this series right now on World War II, and one of the hardest things on the islands when the Americans conquered the island was the dead bodies. There was no place for them to go. And it's amazing, Brother Randall, that it could be this speck on a map with nothing around it but ocean, but black flies immediately appeared. And just everywhere. Men would say you'd be trying to eat your rations and there would be hundreds of flies. And if that doesn't remind you of Satan, I don't know what will. Beelzebub, Lucifer, Satan. Another one in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians. We'll go through these last three quickly here. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 6. It's a great chapter, by the way. Just a great thought, a comparative thought here, especially for how we live our lives as Christians, and particularly in matters of personal separation, and especially public separation. God says here in verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 6, He says, Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial, or Belial, depending on how you pronounce that, is a proper name for Satan. It means worthless, ungodly, or evil. Remember old Eli the priest? And Eli the priest, and Eli was a priest, and he had two sons named Hophni and Phinehas. And Brother Becker, you remember, that right after it said Hophni and Phinehas, it said sons of Belial. Wicked. Remember when Jezebel concocted the plot to steal Naboth's vineyard and have him murdered? She said, lift him up on high and proclaim a fast. And she hired men of Belial. Worthless men. Ungodly men. Evil men. That's Satan. That's Satan right there. Amen. Certainly Belial. If there's something ungodly, he's behind it. If there's something evil, he's behind it. If there's something worthless, he is behind it. Amen. Belial. Another one. Go to Revelation 9. We'll close here in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 9. And verse number 11. Of course, here we're in the middle of the tribulation, and we have the angel sounding. This is the fifth angel sounds, and we have the star fall from heaven. We have the bottomless pit here. Verse 11 says, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. They both mean the same thing in Hebrew and Greek. It's a title here for Satan, the angel of the bottomless pit. It means destroyer. We've mentioned already. Show me destruction. Show me people that are destroyed. Listen, I'll never forget going to lunch with a precious young couple. I had just been newly married. And it was just a privilege to have lunch with them, to see what the Lord was going to do with their life. And Miss Christine, I just happened to notice the dear young lady. She had short sleeves on, and she turned her arm, and her whole arm was all cuts. That's a big problem with young people. And listen, I can tell you where it comes from. The destroyer. The destroyer. Why do young people think about suicide probably more than any other group? I'll tell you why. Because there's a destroyer out there, and he wants to. Listen, John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not before to kill and to steal and to destroy." If Satan can't have our souls, he'd love to destroy our bodies. He'd love to destroy our joy. He'd love to destroy our spirit. Amen. That's what he thrives on, destruction. And then lastly, Revelation 12, just a couple pages over. And we'll do an entire study on the words of Satan, one of the most fascinating studies in this series will be when we study the words of Satan. Verse 9 of chapter 12, and of course you remember here, there's war in heaven and Michael prevails, hallelujah, and Satan is kicked out of heaven. Verse 9 says, and that great dragon was cast out, the old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. The word, the term the devil, it's used more times than this, but it's only used of Satan 32 times in particular. And it means slanderer. Slanderer. You know, if you keep reading there in verse 10, it says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. You know, the only words, and again, we'll talk about this in a few weeks and I'll be done here. The only words that Satan uses are words of slander. When you will track his words in the Bible, they are always slanderous. The accuser, he accuses God before, stands before God and accuses us day and night. You know, the sad thing is a lot of what he accuses us of is true. Come on. It's okay to say amen. I'm with you. Amen. But it's slander. You take that and you can go through and do a word study on that. The devil means slanderer. When I think of the devil, I think of when Jesus said to the Pharisees, "Ye are of your father, the devil." The devil. John 8:44, "And the works of your father you do." I think of that passage, I believe it's 2 Timothy 2:26. It says, who are taken captive at the devil's will, at his will, that he takes prisoners. He's a slanderer. You know what that means? Don't believe him. If you've trusted Christ, he's going to try to tell you you're not saved. Don't believe him. He's a slanderer. He's going to tell you God's not good to you. You know why we have praise time? To remind us that God's good to us. We forget, don't we? There's a real devil, folks, and he's a slanderer. Don't believe him. By the way, I'm glad, though there is a real devil, there's also a friend called Jesus. Come on, let's have our ladies come. We'll do page 392. What a friend we have in Jesus. Let's stand, amen. What a